some years ago, and a long ways from here, really long ways from here. So nobody knows this person. But I knew a man who gave up a job. He had studied in college for like 6 years for this job. It was a good job, too. He made close to six figures doing this job. This is a good job. And he gave it up because he believed in the multi-level marketing business that somebody had told him about. And he gave all that up so he could do this business. And it seemed like no matter what you would talk about with this fellow, he'd come back around somehow to that topic. Somehow he would always bring it back to that product, his products that he had. It was always about his products, everything. I wonder if people thought like much the same way about Paul. You know, Paul had been trained for years and years and years as a Pharisee. And he was one of the Sanhedrin. This was like guaranteed income. He was good to go for his whole life. And out on a road somewhere in the middle of no place, his whole life changed. Everything about him changed. His whole world changed. His outlook changed. His business changed. Everything changed for Paul. And now he followed Jesus Christ. Everything became different for him. He was a changed man. I wonder if wherever Paul went, no matter what he started talking about, somehow, I think it probably came back around to the loveliness of Jesus Christ. Don't you think? Somehow, his mind was always on that subject in the background at least. You know? He might be talking about one thing out here, but Jesus was in his mind. And eventually it just sort of worked its way out there, you know? Wherever he was, whatever he was doing, however he talked. Something happened to him on that road. Something changed in his life. He was a transformed man. A changed, completely changed man. And he was out to change the world. You could see it over and over again, like in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We've been looking again at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning with verse 18 and going through chapter 4, the first few verses. Looking at chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. We are looking more and more like Jesus as we behold him. Every day we behold Jesus and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of God. And Jesus was the theme of Paul's talk. Everywhere he went, everything he did, this was what he did. He talked about the glory of God. He dwelt on that glory. Everywhere, everything he did, it was about Jesus. And he was changed into that image. Last week we looked at chapter 4, verse 5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord. It's not about us. It's not about what we can do. It's not about what we want and what we need. It's about Jesus and reaching out to Him. It's about Him, Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves, He went further and said, your bondservants for Jesus' sake. That's pretty serious language. That is pretty serious, to be a bondservant for others for Jesus' sake. And now we look at verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Wow. I wonder how many of you have a ceiling fan in your bedroom. I have a ceiling fan in your bedroom. I have a ceiling fan. And I had one once that was really convenient because, you know, some of them you got to pull that chain and inevitably the chain is like right over the middle of the bed, right? And it's a real pain in the neck. But I had a really cool one once. It had a wall switch so you didn't have to try and struggle to find the chain and, you know, all that kind of stuff, right? And so in the middle of the night, it's dark and everybody's sleeping. It's a little warm. So I decided I'll just go over and turn on the ceiling fan. Maybe you've done that. The only problem is when I, in my fumbling in my half-awake state, guess which switch I flicked? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, the light switch. The light switch. Oh, let me tell you, I saw the light. Oh, yeah. Jesus came as the light of the world, not quite so abruptly, maybe, or painfully, but Jesus came to shine the light of God in the darkness. Jesus came because we were benighted. We were in darkness. Gross darkness covered the people. Jesus came that we might have light. What a beautiful thing God did. Because frankly, we probably would not have even known how dark it was were it not for the light from the face of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus came as the light of the world. John chapter 1, verse 9. You know it very well as John is thinking about Jesus coming into this world. Jesus, the Son of God, who made himself of no reputation and humbled himself and came to this dark planet, the glory of heaven. Come down to men. And verse 9 says, that was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. I've heard a number of people tell me, well, Pastor, I can't do much for God. Who am I? What do I know? How can I do anything for God? I don't know much about God, and I don't have many talents. I'm not sure how I can help. What can I do? But what I'm reading here in John chapter 1 tells me that Jesus doesn't leave anyone out. You not believe that? Isn't that true? Jesus doesn't leave anyone out. Thank you. It's getting there. We're warming up, right? We're warming up. All right. So Jesus gives light to every one of us. He doesn't leave us out. He doesn't think that, well, you're not so useful to me. So what? That's not our God. Our God loves each one. God shines His light into our lives. God has a place for each of us. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Jesus said it of Himself. John chapter 8, verse 12. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. That is amazing what Jesus has done for us, that he has come, he has given light to each one of us so that as we follow him, we don't need to walk in darkness. We don't need to have these things going on in our lives that can give us the confusion and stub our toes in the dark of night. We have the light of life. Jesus is there for us. It's amazing what Jesus has done. And perhaps that's what Paul was thinking of as he wrote our verse in 2 Corinthians. You remember what happened to Paul as he was on that road, don't you? In Acts chapter 9, he tells the story. Acts chapter 9. Then Saul, as he was known at the time, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of what? That way. The way. Jesus is the way. That any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly, a light shone around him from heaven. How many of you know what the weather's like in the Middle East? I'm sure that must have been a really cloudy day, don't you think? You know, it's kind of like Seattle there. It's always cloudy, right? No. It's desert. It's sunny every day, and yet the scriptures record that a light shone around him. Wait a minute. I thought it was already daytime. Bright sunshine out there. Can you imagine how bright this was? Above the light of day. As it shone on Paul there on the road to Damascus. The glory of the Lord shining was brighter than the light of the sun. That's incredible. And now, Paul says, looking back at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. If noonday is darkness, how much brighter must Jesus be? Who has shone in our hearts, brothers and sisters, Jesus has shone in our hearts. God has good things for you. God has given you light and life. Sometimes we don't stop to think about that. Well, my knee hurts, you know? Ever since I tore that ligament, that knee hurts. And, you know, my shoulder's kind of not so good. And my neck makes funny noises when I move it around. And, you know, things are just not all that good anymore. We start talking about these things. Or, you know, we think of what we can't do and how things are not so good. And, you know, I can't have all the stuff I want. And we get circling around these things and we lose focus on the light. And we get looking somewhere else. And we get to focusing on the dark things of the world and get drawn away from the light. What a blessing Jesus has given to us. I want you to drink it in this morning. I want you to take it into your hearts again today to think about what God has done for you. How blessed you are in the world that God has made for you. Maybe your life isn't perfect. I'm sure that you can give me a whole list of things that you could tell me that could be better. I know that. If it weren't so, you wouldn't be human. But God has shown into our hearts. God has given us life. Have you taken a breath recently? It's kind of nice, isn't it? To be able to breathe. Any of you not looking forward to lunch? I know that's a really touchy subject to bring up at this time of day when everybody's supposed to be focused here. But you can look forward to it, can't you? Anybody, you know, not know where they're sleeping tonight? Ah, the Lord is blessed, huh? What has God done for you? All kinds of things. All kinds of things the Lord has done. It's a beautiful thing. And so, freely you have received, freely give. Let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 60, because Isaiah tells us that the light has shone on us. Isaiah tells us that the light of God would be shining on us. It has arisen on us. Isaiah chapter 60, and Isaiah tells us what our response is. What should we do now that God has shone on our path, brightened our way, given us His truth, how to live a life that is joyful and full of His life? Now what? Now what do we do? Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, "Arise," he says, "and shine." Huh? How do I shine? Was I shining? No? What happened? Maybe I didn't try hard enough. How about then? Getting red? How do we shine? Is it because we try hard? Because we do good things? Because we're cool? No, it's still about Jesus, isn't it? It's still about Jesus. Arise and shine, for your light has come. My light, my little light. My little light ain't much if it's all about me. It says, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Praise the Lord, it's not about me. It's about the Lord who has shone down in our hearts. It's about the God of heaven, the one who is bathed in the glory of eternity. Come down to be with me. Wow. Verse 2, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Think about the darkness that people live in around us today. Did you hear about the lady who was in the check cashing place this week? She was in the check cashing place this week. And all of a sudden, the guy jumps over the counter waving a gun right in her face. How about you? Are you ready for that? Did you hear? Did you hear what happened? What did she do? She started talking with him about the Lord and praying with him. And the guy gave her his gun, believe it or not, by the end of it. Because she allowed her light to shine. Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. The man said he had a little kid at home and he hadn't had work for months and he felt trapped. He didn't know what else to do. Brothers and sisters, there's a lot of hurting people in our world. People who are searching for the light that's shining on you and me today, right here in this place. People hurting in our world who need to know Jesus Christ like you and I know Him. Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. We are to reflect that glory to all those around us. Paul, as he's speaking here in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness who has shone in our hearts." He has shone in our hearts, brothers and sisters. He has given us His light. Well, what's it look like? What does it look like when we reflect that glory of God? What does that look like? How do we know when that glory is reflected? It's in our scripture reading for today, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. You know Matthew chapter 5. Jesus went up on the hillside and he began to preach. He's sitting looking over the people there, looking out across the hills, the valleys with grain growing in them, the cities on the hilltops there. Jesus is looking over this group of people and he begins to envision what heaven looks like. How do the beings in heaven act toward one another? And he's filled with heaven as he looks at these people and he can't help himself. The glory of heaven just piles out of him. Light from on high shines in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. "And seeing the multitudes, he went up on the mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." You see, it is those who know their spiritual poverty, those who yearn for more light, that receive from heaven. And that's what Jesus was saying. And then he told what it was like. Blessed are the meek. The who? The strong. That's what we hear from science today, right? From science so-called. Blessed are the strong, for they shall survive. That's what we hear, but that's not what Jesus said. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Ever been really hungry, really thirsty? Do you go after God like that? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Not just get something, they shall be filled. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall... Wow! What a privilege! They shall see God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted. What? That doesn't sound like much of a blessing to me. Persecuted? I don't think so. That hurts. I don't like to hurt. I got to get out a Band-Aid. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Who's in the kingdom of heaven? Those who are willing to sacrifice for the Lord. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake, Jesus said. Wow, that doesn't sound like fun at all. Rejoice, he says. What? Rejoice. This is just all backwards from what the world tells us, isn't it? Isn't this all backwards? We got to let it go. Like Paul, we have to be changed people. We have to be transformed from glory to glory. We have to allow, yes, we have to allow the light from the Son of God to shine in our hearts, because the world says, no, no, close, keep tight, protect. But God said, open, allow the Holy Spirit to work in your heart, to make a difference, to be different, to be one of my people. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. You see all these blessings, blessings, blessings. Blessings, verse 3. Blessed, verse 4. Blessed, verse 5, 6, 7, 8. Blessed, 9 and 10. Blessed, 11 and rejoicing in 12. And we don't keep it to ourselves. You ever drop a Mento into a Diet Coke? Yeah. Drop a Mento, one of the little mint things, right? You drop it into a Diet Coke bottle. 2 liter Diet Coke. You ever try that? Good thing. You'd have gotten wet. I've done it. I got wet. Because the bottle just can't contain itself anymore. When that change comes, you can't contain it anymore. It just blows out. You can't contain it. 400 kids are sitting here now going, "Hey, Mom, let's get some Mentos." These are sleeping, so it's okay. You can't contain it. You can't contain it when Jesus blesses you, when you're blessed, 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 and then rejoice. You can't contain it. You just can't contain it. Ye are the salt of the earth, Jesus said. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You, Jesus said, are the light of the world. I thought he said he was the light of the world. Isn't that true? Didn't John 8:12 say, "I am the light of the world"? Didn't Jesus say that? We just read it, right? So if he's the light of the world, how is he saying we're the light of the world? Because we reflect. We reflect his light. We reflect his light. The glory of the Lord has risen upon us. His light on us becomes our light shining to others. We are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. And as Jesus was on that hill and the people spread before him, as they looked, they could see the fields beneath them. And over on this hill, a little town. And there, a village. They could see what Jesus was talking about. Yep, there's that village. You can't hide it. It's right there on top of the hill. Wherever I go, I can see it. The hill is where the city is set, on top of the hill. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. Actually, it was kind of an earthenware pot sort of a thing. I've always wondered about that. You know, as I read the King James and the New King James, wouldn't the lamp kind of set it on fire? But I found out it's earthenware probably. And so, you're not just going to light the lamp, waste it by putting something over it, right? What are you going to do with it? Put it on a lampstand, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to whom? To those who are, you know, on this side of the house, because the people on the other side, we don't really want to, you know, we need to conserve it for us, right? We need to make sure that we have enough for us. Isn't that how it works? No? No? It gives light to all. It gives light to all who are in the house. Jesus has blessed us. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts. Think about the power of God to create light at the creation of this world. Think of the God who spoke and it was. The God who said it and it stood fast. Think of the God who had the power to proclaim, and it became. And he has shown in your heart. That's a serious amount of power coming down in a really tiny space. How can I help but let some of it out? God has shown in my heart. How can I not share that? You see, as those lamps, I know sometimes some Bibles will say candle, but it wasn't like a candle like we have today with wax and, you know, that kind of thing. It was more like a little pot, a little flat pot, and they poured oil in it and had the wick hanging out the side, kind of, a little thing going out the side of it. And so the fact that it was burning and continued to burn, the fact that that was on, gave evidence that there was oil in the lamp. Does that ring any bells about oil being in the lamp? Like some 10 virgins or something? God has shone in our hearts. We have the oil there. Let's share the light to all who are in the house. We have gotten, we freely give. My friend years ago couldn't help himself. He kept talking about his product. Paul couldn't help himself. He kept talking about Jesus. How about you and I? How about you and I? Are we a city set on a hill? Are we giving our light to all in the house, not under the basket? You see, we could take these blessings and put them in the SDA Bank of Lakeland. Right? No, we take the blessing for being meek. I'm meek, so I'll take that blessing and I'll put it in the Lakeland SDA Bank. And I'll just be meek with my brother here and with my sister here. But when I get out on the road, you see, I'm not at the bank anymore. So I don't have to be meek anymore. I don't have to share that blessing anymore. And we get this mentality that it's only here that we hole up here, and that we need to be careful to keep it all in, because if it spills out, we'll lose some of it. What? Like our God isn't big enough to light the whole world? God is a big God. God cares for everybody. God is shining on every person's heart, not just us. Let's share it. Let's spread it to all that are in the house. We can't selfishly shut this up among ourselves. It's to be shared with others. And then sometimes we also look at it and go, oh, yeah, light. Mm-hmm. When that light comes on in the bedroom in the middle of the night, it's like, whoa! Woo. But after a while, it's like, well, I'm trying to read this little type. Can we turn on a lamp? We get used to it, don't we? And we begin to think, it's not so special. I turn it on, I turn it off, I turn it on, I turn it off. What's the big deal? When I want it, I turn it on. When I don't want it, I turn it off. And we tend to treat God sometimes like a light switch. When we're here, we want to look good. We turn it on. Then when we're out in the world, we got things to do. And so we turn it off. We allow it to be a little light and a little dark, a little on and a little off, a little warm and a little cool. You know, huh? You know what I mean. A little lukewarm. And God is calling us to be hot. God is calling us to be on for Him. God is calling us to be His people everywhere we go. Not on and off, here on, there off, in one time on, this time off. God wants us on for Him. God wants us on for Him, especially where it's dark. You don't need the light when the sun's shining, but you need it where it's dark. Brothers and sisters, let your light shine here, but out there is where people need to know what Jesus looks like. That's where they need Jesus. That's where they need that light, reflected from the glory of the Lord, His character. Reflected through you. Story is told of the lighthouse keeper in Calais who was boasting of the brilliancy of his lantern, which can be seen 10 leagues out to sea. When a visitor said to him, "Well, you speak with enthusiasm, sir, and that's good. I like to hear men tell what they are sure they have. And no, but what if one of the lights goes out?" "Oh, never, never. That's absurd and impossible," replied the sensitive watchman in consternation at the mere thought of such a thing. "Why, sir," he continued and pointed to the ocean, "yonder where nothing can be seen, there are ships going by." "To every part of the world. If tonight one of my burners went out, within 6 months would come a letter, perhaps from Australia or from some other part of the world I have never heard of, from India. A letter saying that on such a night, at such an hour, in such a minute, the light at Calais burned low." And the lighthouse keeper was not at his post. "Ah, sir," and his face shone with the intensity of the thought, "sometimes in the dark nights and in the stormy weather, I look out upon the sea and feel as if the eye of the whole world were looking at my light go out, grow dim." "Ha! That flame flicker low or fail? No, sir, never, never." Shall Christians, Seventh-day Adventist Christians, Lakeland Seventh-day Adventist Christians who are shining on tempted sinners allow their light to fail? Will we allow that? Forever out upon life's billowy sea, our souls we do not see. Strange sailors in the dark passing by, struggling it may be amid the surges of temptation. Will we be there for them? Christ is the light for them. Will we be there for them? Our job is to reflect that light of Christ. The ocean is vast. This city needs to know Jesus. Its dangers are so many. They're looking for the lighthouse at Calais, the lighthouse in Lakeland, the lighthouse that you are. Will the light grow dim? There's a light that you can steer your ship by. You can guarantee that it will always be there. Jesus, the light of the world, is shining today. Shining on your hearts just now. Shining through His Word into your heart today, right now. Paul had a life-changing experience as the light shone in his heart on the road to Damascus. Jesus came, the light of the world came into his life and made a transformation in the life of Paul that has touched our world down through history, because Paul allowed God to make that forever change in his life, that ultimate, complete, and forever change in his life. And he's giving you that opportunity today. Jesus is shining today in your life. How could I not today allow that light to shine on you so that you can change your course, so that you can make a difference in the way you live because you respond to Jesus Christ? And so I want to give an opportunity just now for those who have that light shining on their hearts to make that change, to make that alteration of course, away from the shoals, away from the rocks of temptation, away from sin and death. I want to give you that opportunity just now to come right down here. Yeah, to actually stand up and let everybody look at you. Yeah, that's exactly what I want. Because God is shining in your heart just now. If you would like to make such a choice just now, I would invite you to come right down here. I have plenty of space here. I'm going to give you that opportunity to come and make a difference in your life, to allow God to work in you. It's scary. It's mighty, maybe even embarrassing. But Jesus didn't mind being embarrassed hanging on that tree for you and I. It was okay with him because he knew you would be benefited. So God is giving you that option right now. Think about what God has done for you. It's an awesome thing, what God is doing. He's moving here. He's moving in this church. He's moving out into Lakeland. I see it happen as we plan for this April. I see people making choices to move out into the community and make a difference for God, to be little reflectors all over the city of Lakeland, making a difference. And as that's done, this work will close. And there will be no more opportunities. When Jesus said, "He that is righteous, let him be righteous still," the choice will be closed. I invite you just now, if you've never made that choice, to make it now and choose God. Allow him to make a difference in your life. I'm okay with waiting because I want people to have that opportunity. God is good. God is good. I want you to look again at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness." Do you see that? Which God is it? It is the God, the Creator God, the one who at the beginning of creation week had light shine in the darkness. That's the God we're talking about. The God who has all power for creation. That's the God we're talking about, the one men deny today, saying there is no creation, that we all evolved. It is the God of creation that has shown in our hearts, and it is the God who, according to Revelation chapter 14 and verse 6, says, "Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God." Do what? Fear God and give glory to Him. Reflect that light. Reflect God's character. Give glory to Him. Why? For the hour of His judgment has come. And do what? Worship Him who is the Creator God. You see, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 6 is the message for today. This is the message of the Creator God that is going to the world today, because the world does not recognize the Creator. This is the first angel's message, that there is a Creator God that has come into our hearts, and by not letting God's character live through us, we are denying the first angel's message. Am I making sense here, Seventh-day Adventists? We can talk the talk about how much we believe in God and how much we hold to the three angels' message, but if we go out of here and do not live the life of God and reflect His character, we are denying the very messages we claim to preach. You see, this reaches to right now. This is God's time, right here, right now. God has given us a work to do. We are to give freely as we have received freely. We are to be the light set on the hill. Brothers and sisters, this message is a message for right now, that we are not to just be believers but not doers, hearers but not doers. We are to be doers of the Word of God. There is no time like now, because this earth's history is closing up. We're nearing the end, and God is giving us the opportunity to shine for Him. And so this morning, as I have given opportunity for those who have never known Jesus to come to know Him this morning, to make that change in their lives, the change that will take them away from the rocks of sin, I also call on each one here, those who know the truth of God, those who have had the light shining on their hearts maybe for years and years. I call on you as well to polish the mirror, to strengthen your reflection of Jesus, to come closer to the light, to reflect more of His character. I call on you this morning to be givers of the first angel's message, those who tell of the Creator God, those who reflect glory to God, giving that first angel's message, giving the third angel's message each day of your life. It's the time right now. God is calling on you. This is not a time to have other things on your mind. When Paul made that shift in his life, it was for time and for eternity. No turning back. A full and complete change. He was a changed man. And he's looking to change the world. Are you the same? You see, I've made a call this morning for people to have changed lives. And now I'm making a call to change Lakeland. Are you ready? Are you ready for that? Are you ready for the ledger to send somebody here to sit here at one of our services thinking for some reason that the service is where we're Christians. Like he's going to find out what makes the change in Lakeland. He's going to find out what's happening in Lakeland by coming to this time. What? When we're changing Lakeland, brothers and sisters, it won't be because of something cool happening in this building. It'll be because of something cool happening out there in the city with you. That's what it's all about. And if the Lakeland Ledger comes here looking for what's going on, he isn't going to find it. He'll find a worship service. He'll find a people, a group of dynamic, awesome people worshiping a most awesome God. But he won't find what's changing Lakeland, because there he'll need to go and see the light reflected. Little here, a little there, all through our city. So the people are going, what's going on at that church? Those are changed people. They aren't like other people. They're reflecting God's character. They're giving glory to him. What's up with them? That's what they'll see. They'll see God's people making a difference in their city. So I am asking you today, are you ready? We've talked for several weeks about this change, this transformation that Paul is talking about, and we come back again today to how it happens, letting that light shine in our lives and then reflecting it to others. You know, it comes back to that same thing we've said over and over and over again about that golden ribbon, that connection between earth and heaven, and then reflecting it to others. God is calling you to that today. Are you ready? Are you ready? I want to give you the opportunity to make that choice again, just now. If you have not accepted Jesus into your life, I ask you, please come here, make that change. And if you have done that maybe years ago, now's the time to renew that commitment. To say yes to God, I give myself to you fully to reflect your glory to the world around me.